Wow, what a dominant performance by the Memphis Grizzlies facing eliminations back against the wall. The Grizzlies stood up, they didn't fold. And you know what? They found something in that game. And we're going to talk about what they found in that game that could be crucial going forward in this series against Golden State coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzly. I am your host, DeMichael Cole. And what a special game that was for the Memphis Grizzlies. But before we get to that, we appreciate you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen every day. You can follow me at DeMichael C on Twitter. I'm the Commercial Appeal Grizzlies beat writer as well. And make sure you're liking, you comment, you're subscribing wherever you're listening or watching Locked On Grizzlies. But we appreciate you, and we know why you're here. You know why I'm here. We're here to talk about a record-setting performance by the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 5, facing elimination. Back against the wall, they were underdogs, and you know what happened? A complete 39-point beatdown, 134-95 win, 134 points, most points scored in a playoff game for the Grizzlies, 39-point defeat, largest margin of defeat for the Grizzlies in a playoff game. 37 assists, we'll get more to that later. Also, another playoff record, 18 three-pointers made, another playoff record for the Grizzlies. They just set a bunch of records, and they set Golden State Warriors down early into the third quarter. I mean, the Warriors starters didn't play in the fourth, and the Grizzlies got the rest, a lot of their players as well. No Grizzlies player played more than 25 minutes, which could be big going forward. But the Grizzlies found something in this game. I think it was something that they sort of found in game 4-2, but they really have found it now. Let me tell you how I know they found it. Let me tell you how I know they went to the well with it. And that something is a person. And it's how they use that person. It's Jaren Jackson Jr. First play of the game. Play is drawn up for Jaren Jackson Jr. And then another play is drawn up for him. Then he gets a couple three-point plays drawn up for him. And he knocks a couple of them down. 10 points first quarter, just like that. A statement was made by the Grizzlies. And that statement was, Jaren Jackson Jr., be aggressive. You're our guy. And I think that was communicated from the leaders of the Grizzlies team and just from his teammates. I mean, I asked Jaren Jackson, you know, after the game, said, who has been telling you, you know, who are the people telling you to be aggressive? And he says, everybody, trust me. Those are his exact words. Everyone's in his ear telling them being aggressive. They know. I believe Draymond Green actually said it on his podcast that they don't have a lot of answers right now, you know, for Jaren Jackson Jr. And he's a tough matchup. Some of you listening, you may say, oh, they have Draymond Green, former defensive player of the year. And, you know, he is the one guy who you comfortably feel putting on Jaren Jackson Jr. But here's the problem with that. This is where getting Steven Adams back is so important. Brandon Clark, those guys. If you have those guys in the game with Jaren Jackson Jr., which is pretty much most of the time, if you put Draymond Green on Jaren Jackson Jr., you're leaving the offensive glass open for Brandon Clark and Steven Adams or Steven Adams. Those two guys clean the glass really well. And Draymond Green is, you know, the best option that the Warriors have at boxing out and things like that. Some people say, oh, Kevon Looney. They could go with the bigger lineup, but that limits Golden State on the offensive end. So it's a pick-your-poison type thing. Golden State could go big and, you know, become more deficient on the offensive end, or they could try to keep their dynamic offensive thing going on, keep as many offensive weapons out there as possible. But you deal with Jaren Jackson Jr. having a mismatch, and now he knows he has a mismatch, and he's taking advantage of that mismatch. And, I mean, you just see it. But I want to talk about the energy in FedEx Forum, too. I think, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. fed off of that energy. That place was rocking. FedEx Forum, you know, you couldn't tell that the Grizzlies were down 3-1. And I mean, that crowd was insane. And I think the players fed off of it. There are just a few instances from the game. Jaren Jackson, first of all, started the game. He makes that first basket, hook shot, you know, they draw the play for him, and he goes back up the court, you know, kind of with the stank face. You know, he has a little – his lip is kind of upwards a little bit, and he has a little stank face look up the court. And when I saw that, I said, oh, he means business. Jaren Jackson Jr. means business today. And it was that. 21 points, 4 made three-pointers after going 0 for 7. From three-point range in game 4. I talked about he found something in game 4. He shot 7 of 21 in game 4, but he was 7 of 14 inside the arc. I think that's where he found something when he attacked the basket. He just finished 0 of 7 from three-point range in the game. Same mindset today. Destructive at the basket. 6 of 10 overall, 4 of 6 from three-point range. Jaren Jackson Jr. right now, he can't be stopped by that team. Golden State doesn't have an answer right now. But, yeah, as I was saying about the energy, Zaire Williams had a play with Draymond Green, for example. This is just an example. Talking about a rookie here who, you know, just moved moved from California on his own, and we're talking about a three-time champion who is known to talk his, you know, trash from time to time. Zaire Williams gets called for a foul on one of those little veteran savvy plays where I think Draymond initiates the contact, and Zaire Williams is pretty much confused why he's called for the foul. So he's talking to the referees. That same possession, as the Warriors inbound the ball, Draymond gets called for the offensive foul, and who's in his face walking back up the court talking trash to him? Oh, the little rookie talking trash to the – you know, the all-star defensive player of the year, former defensive player of the year, three-time NBA champ. When I saw that, that was a moment where you say, oh, these young Grizzlies have no fear. Zaire was just talking trash to a guy I'm pretty sure he grew up watching in some ways. So the energy overall, I mean, there was the whole, you know, whoop that trick situation as well. Before the game, I believe Kendra Andrews at ESPN, she reported that she saw Steph and, you know, she asked him what was his game plan. And Steph said the game plan was to whoop that trick. Well, that message made its way around FedEx Forum. It made its way around the Memphis fan base. And lo and behold, it was early in the third quarter. The Grizzlies were up 40 points. And the crowd is in there chanting, whoop that trick, whoop that trick. And then in the fourth quarter, the song is actually played on, you know, the speakers inside the arena. And it was wild. The Grizzlies dancers come out to the court and they're dancing. And Draymond and Steph actually stood up to kind of like soak it up. Steph is standing on the court. By this point, he's long checked out of the game. You know, the Grizzlies have it in control by this point in the fourth quarter. And he has this little smile on his face. And Draymond actually starts participating with the fans in the whoop that trick, you know, chant. He's participating. So whatever you take from that, you take from it. But overall, I mean, the energy was there. But from a basketball perspective, the Grizzlies may have found something. Jaren Jackson Jr., for one, I mean, this is – when I say found something, I'm not saying like, oh, this is some, you know, they just pulled something out of nowhere. We have seen Jaren Jackson Jr. when he's aggressive, when he takes advantage of smaller matchups all season long. You know, there are opportunities there where he's dominated. It just hasn't been consistent. I think going back to game 4, where he had really, like I said, he dominated. He shot 7 of 21, but he was 0 of 7 from three-point range. He really dominated inside when he used his size to get to where he wanted to get on the floor. He took it to another level in game five. If Jaren Jackson Jr. keeps doing that, he's going to force their hand. They're either going to have to put in Kevon Looney or he's going to get some easy scoring opportunities. So this is a good situation to monitor going forward in this series. And the reason you want to monitor this is because it's not just Jaren Jackson. Jaren Jackson is creating opportunities for other players too, and other players are taking advantage of those opportunities. And a couple of those guys are Desmond Bain and Tyus Jones. I want to talk more about the impact that they had in Game 5 as well. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about BetOnline, because this is the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info, so you can go find all of the latest odds. That's with the NBA playoffs. That's even with MLB, you know, the regular season going on, or even with the MMA and more. BetOnline is where you should go to get your odds for each of these games, especially these NBA playoff games. The Sixers and the Suns, they're slight favorites today in those games. Tomorrow, the Bucks, slight favorites over the Celtics in Game 6. But once again, those Grizzlies, big, big underdogs. The Grizzlies are going to have to prove themselves on the money line. See, if you go over to Bet Online, you will see that every money line, every over and under for these four playoff games, two or less points for three of them. The Grizzlies are 8.5-point underdogs in Game 6 on Bet Online. So head over to the website today. Do with that number what you will. Or if you don't head over to the website, you can also use the mobile device to get in on the action with Bet Online. The Locked On NBA Big Board, thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen. But make sure you go over to the Locked On NBA Big Board as well and tune in, because with Locked On NBA Big Board is where the fans, you get an in-depth look into the NBA draft, the mock draft, player rankings, big boards, and it's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Grizzlies fans, you're going to have at least two first-round picks in this upcoming draft. Locked On NBA Big Board is where you get those player rankings and get an idea for what players could fall into your lap, into those favorable positions. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So we want to talk about Desmond Bain and Tyus Jones, because Jaren Jackson Jr., super big part of this offense. I put Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bain on the same pedestal in terms of Desmond Bain is what I call the connector for the Grizzlies offense. He is the shooter. He spaces the floor. He is the one. He can shoot with the Splash Brothers. He can shoot with Jordan Poole. He is the one who can go shot for shot with those guys consistently when he's playing well. Desmond Bain, I have some news for you, Grizzlies fans. Desmond Bain is getting healthier. In his words, you know, he shouted out the training staff after the game and basically said he feels like he's starting to turn a corner. That's big news. That is absolutely huge news for this series, because the Grizzlies, so far, they've played the Warriors tight. They lost two really close games where Desmond Bain was not a big factor. Go back to that first round series against the Timberwolves. Desmond Bain was the MVP. Some people will say Brandon Clark. I can understand that. But Desmond Bain, for my money, he was the MVP for the Grizzlies in that series. And he's been one of their best players all season long. To me, he's been one of the more consistent players. He had one or two shooting slumps the entire season. Outside of that, this guy was money. Desmond Bain said he feels like he's turning the corner. His numbers in this game showed it as well. 21 points, 6 of 12 shooting, 4 of 6 from three-point range, 5 of 5 at the free throw line. I think that was big. Him getting to the free throw line is showing, you know, and he took some shots. Desmond Bain failed a couple times. I looked really close to see if he would grimace or anything. Didn't notice anything. Now, he's not 100% yet. Let's be clear that there were moments where You know, I think he the one rebound, for example, he's, you know, not rebounding the ball, you know, I guess to his highest capabilities and things like that. And even from a burst perspective, there are certain moments you think, oh, he's not quite there yet. But as he said, he feels like he's turned the corner. He shouted out the training staff with the Grizzlies. And Desmond Bane, we're talking about going forward the rest of this series. You combine him with what Jaren Jackson Jr. is doing, that's good enough to win this series, especially when you get what you're getting from Tyus Jones. Well, let's talk about Tyus Jones because he is your so-called Ja Morant replacement. So after the game, you know, the whole 20-5 record and you know, Tyus Jones started most of those games and he's asked, and they're asking, you know, how hard is it for Tyus Jones to do what he's doing? I believe Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson were asked that question. And, oh, you think they would have said, oh, it's super hard. They basically were like, look, this is what we expect from Tyus Jones. It's what he's done all season. This is what he's done since December. And they're right. Ja Morant was out 12 games in December. Tyus Jones, 10-2 record. He misses some game toward the end of the season. Tyus Jones leads the way. They don't miss a beat. 20-5 record without Ja Morant. I believe Tyus did not start the final game of the season, so I believe it's 20-4 with Tyus Jones starting those games. Tyus Jones in this game, 21 points. That's cool. But this is where he's different. He's been a consistent three-point shooter this year, more consistent even than Ja Morant from three-point range. You have to guard him a little bit differently. They have to respect his three-point shot, for one. And for two, 9 assists, 0 turnovers. I've talked about it time and time again. Tyus Jones leads the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio the last 4 seasons. 9 assists, 0 turnovers. Not only was his 9 assists big, he was a big part on why the Grizzlies finished this game playoff record, Grizzlies franchise playoff record, 37 assists on 47 made baskets. They had 22 assists in the first half, the Grizzlies, that is. You know how many assists Golden State had for the game? 22. The Grizzlies had 22 assists. I don't know if you know how big of a number that is for one half. Like I said, Golden State, one of the best passing teams we've known to see in the league over the last decade, had 22 assists total for the game. In the NBA, I believe the bottom three ranked teams finished with 22 or less assists per game. The Grizzlies' first half assist total would have ranked around 26th in the NBA, 27th in the NBA. In assists per game, 37 total. Tyus Jones is a big reason for that, but you get 7 assists from Kyle Anderson. Why? Because he's a 6'9" forward who has always had this playmaking ability since UCLA. He's always been known as this big playmaker. And again, a smaller team, he sees the floor so well, 7 assists. Then the starting lineup, you get 4 assists from Dylan Brooks, who we talked about as, you know, his playmaking role being increased. But you get 3 from Jaren Jackson. You get 3 from Steven Adams, who we've seen pass the ball, you know, well, all season long. You also got 4 assists from De'Anthony Melton, who had a really big game in his own right. Mr. Do Something stepped up. 2 big three-pointers made, and he had 10 points. So, all around, 7 Grizzlies in double figures. And this all goes back to Tyus Jones starting at point guard. The ball moves. I said this, Lynn. You lose the closing with Ja Morant. Game 4, they win game 4 if Ja Morant's closing that game. No ifs, ands, buts about it. But what you get this crisp ball movement that leads to 37 assists. And we've seen some of these big blowouts for the Grizzlies. I mean, the OKC game, Ja Morant didn't play in that game. The 73-point win, that is. It's because the ball movement with Tyus Jones, it's so crisp. It doesn't stick in his hands. It doesn't stick in any of those guys' hands. And they are tough to guard. So, right now, you got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's realizing these guys can't stop me. You have Desmond Bane saying he's turning the corner, and you have a consistent Tyus Jones. The Grizzlies may have found something else. They may have found one more thing in game five. We'll see if this is truly something they found, but I'm going to get back to that later, and that's rebounding. The rebounding numbers were different in this game, but before we get to that, I want to talk to you about Rock Auto, because a lot of you people, you're paying 30, 40, or 100% more for the same parts from a chain store, a car dealership that you can get at a more affordable rate with Rock Auto. I'm talking brake parts, tail lamps, motor oils, even something like a new carpet in your car. Rock Auto has you covered. So go to rockauto.com right now. See what parts they have for your needs. Right, Locked On in their how did you hear about us section, so they can know who sent you. But amazing selections for reliable prices. Rock Auto is the place to go. So that's rockauto.com. And you can get those reliable, affordable prices. So the Grizzlies, they have this big size advantage, right? We talked about it over and over and over. But you look at the rebounding numbers. Game one, Golden State out-rebounded the Grizzlies. Game two, Golden State out-rebounded the Grizzlies. Game three, Golden State out-rebounded the Grizzlies. Game four, Golden State out-rebounded the Grizzlies. But in game four, the Grizzlies found something. It's something I called for it. I wrote a story saying why the Grizzlies should start Steven Adams. In that game, you got 15 rebounds from Steven Adams, 6 offensive boards. They found something in that game from Steven Adams. They got it again in this game from Steven Adams. 13 boards total. 6 offensive boards. But you know what else they got? It's the return of Brandon Clark. No, he hadn't missed any games. He's just been limited in terms of impact. We saw first round. I mentioned how right up there with Desmond Bane, he was the MVP for the Grizzlies. He has been non-existent for the most part of this series. But Brandon Clark, 14 minutes. This is all he needed, 14 minutes in this game. 11 points, 7 total boards, 7 total rebounds, right? Only 2 defensive rebounds. 5 on the offensive glass. Brandon Clark, 5 offensive rebounds. He had more offensive rebounds himself than Golden State. Golden State finished with 4. Steven Adams had 6 offensive rebounds. He had more offensive rebounds than Golden State by himself. The Grizzlies out-rebounded Golden State overall 55-37. These are the rebounding numbers, personally, that I expected to see throughout this series. I felt that was the advantage. The Warriors played a small ball lineup, Draymond Green at center. Pick your poison. It's volleyball for the Grizzlies at the rim. Steven Adams misses the first 2 games of the series. Taylor Jenkins, you know, opts to keep going with Xavier Tillman, who played well enough in game 2. And Taylor Jenkins sticks with him for game 3. When Steven Adams returns from health and safety protocols, Adams was not available for the first 2 games. So he sticks with him for game 3. Doesn't really work out. Doesn't work out at all. As a matter of fact, the Grizzlies got blew out of the water in that game. Game 4, he goes to Steven Adams. Steven Adams finishes that game plus 13. Doesn't play in that final stretch for whatever reason. But the rebounding in game 5 finally looked how, 1, I expected it to look this series. 2, how the Grizzlies have looked in terms of rebounding this entire season. Because here's the thing about the Grizzlies rebounding. It's not just about jumping higher and taking the ball off the glass. Rebounding leads to so much for this Grizzlies team. It's number one, because once they rebound, they can do all of the things that they finished near or at the top of the league at. Second chance points. The Grizzlies had a 24-5 advantage over Golden State. Number one second chance points scoring team in the NBA, the Grizzlies were. Rebound, you get to get out in transition. 16 transition points for the Grizzlies, 9 for Golden State. Points in the paint. You get those offensive boards, you get to go right back up. You dominate the paint. 50 points in the paint for the Grizzlies, 36 for Golden State. Now, here's the thing, and this is the most Grizzlies thing of them all, because the Grizzlies score 134 points, and so you're probably thinking, man, they shot 60% from the field and you know, all of that. Actually, the Grizzlies only shot 47.5%. So round it up, the Grizzlies shot 48% from the field. They did make 18 three-pointers, but Golden State made 14. Well, it wasn't really a big gap in the three-point shooting. Golden State made 14 of their own. Free throw line, the Grizzlies made 22 free throws, but they missed 8. They finished 22 of 30 from the free throw line. The big gap was the rebounding. The rebounding led to 19 more shot attempts for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies finished with 99 shots. Golden State finished with 80. Add that on to the free throw difference. Golden State, 13 free throw attempts. The Grizzlies, 30. So the Grizzlies got to the free throw line more and shot 19 more field goal attempts. All of that goes back to rebounding. And all of that goes right back to Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. And so I'll give some love to Jaren Jackson as well, who, like I said, his aggressiveness, it's showing up on the offensive glass, too. He had 3 offensive rebounds, and he had 8 boards in this game, 21 points, 8 boards overall. But that rebounding, that's something – rebounding travels. You know, when the Grizzlies go to Golden State for game 6, you know, 18 of 41 from three-point range and having 3 starters hit 4 three-pointers, that's probably not going to travel. That's probably not going to travel with you. It's possible, but that's a little bit more unlikely. Rebounding, we have seen the Grizzlies all season long rebound against whoever they're playing. So here's the thing. With that rebounding in game 5, with that being the first game that the Grizzlies showed, you know, that they could dominate the glass, that changes some things. That changes some things because – I think what this Grizzlies team is doing is they're a younger team and finding out what works, what doesn't work, and they're getting some really good ideas of how they can impact this game. So you got Brandon Clark impacting rebounds, Steven Adams impacting the game on the offensive glass as well. They're going to keep starting Steven Adams. Got great minutes out of him. Brandon Clark, if he comes in to replace Steven Adams and he plays that way down the stretch, no one's going to question the decision to take Steven Adams out of the game. I believe in game 4, Brandon Clark was actually playing so bad that Kyle Anderson, who was playing well, so maybe it was Kyle Anderson playing well. I shouldn't say Brandon Clark was playing so bad. Kyle Anderson was playing so well that he finished the game alongside of Jaren Jackson Jr. instead of Brandon Clark, who gives you that offensive rebound and edge. So, a lot to take away from that blowout dominant victory for the Grizzlies. Some of these things that I mentioned, they just found something. I think with Jaren Jackson Jr., because we got game 4 and game 5 tape to go off of, I think that's the consistent thing they found. Desmond Bane, we'll see how it goes for him. One thing that you have to think about is the Grizzlies, short turnaround. You travel up to San Francisco. I know the Grizzlies are going to be leaving today. They'll get to San Francisco, and then, boom, tomorrow's game day. So we'll have you covered with everything here on Locked On Grizzly. It'll either be me and my co-host Sean Coleman joining you on tomorrow. I'm going to be flying up to San Francisco. So I'll be in San Francisco and there at the Bay to have things covered for you guys as well. But we appreciate you for always tuning in, making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen. Again, make sure you tune in tomorrow for our game coverage as well. And we'll also be able to preview, you know, what will be a very important contest. It's do or die. As Tyus Jones said, the Grizzlies are fighting for their lives right now. Fighting for their lives. But we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. See you next time.